Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nath Brown's come in looking very military to me too, Nath. It looks like you've one of those tough mutter courses where you've... Radzi, if you can get Nath on.
Turn him on.
Rabs.
All good, Jim. Yeah, had a bit of a trim up.
Is it number three or what?
It's
have
a number one on the sides, number two on the top. Christina thinks it looks tougher than what I normally roll in.
I'm just trying to think, is it Full Metal Jacket? Or there is a film you're channeling there. Which one is it?
Not sure. I think it looks okay, though.
I'll tell you what's no good.
Navy
Your
Seal-ish.
Beard.
The beard.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's patchy.
Snorkel, the great big nose producer, threatens me every week when we go on the Sunday footy show, you need to shave your beard off, but hasn't done anything about it yet.
Still fronting up with it. And a much more standardly dressed arrangement is purple. Hello to you.
Or boringly dressed, Jim, maybe.
Well, but you're a corporate man.
He's looking a bit like Ed. Is it Ed Norton in one of those roles he
that's
plays?
That's what I'm saying.
Ed Norton.
In Rounders.
Something like
Rounders. American History X.
That's what I'm thinking
of.
I think he looked like him.
And you've got grey on, purple.
Yeah.
Ground my hair.
Grey shirt, grey suit.
Yeah, colour-coded, coordinated.
No, it's very boring.
Had a fight with anyone yet this week?
No, it's been a couple of days, so we move on. Yeah. the week's still young, mate.
We've got some games of great interest, including tonight. Well, I mean, when you're 1-4, which four clubs are, the blowtorch goes to you, Purple, and so it should.
Yeah, it does.
And we've got Melbourne tonight, who take on Richmond. And it is, if they don't win tonight, it is almost unfeasible that they could then play in a final.
Yeah, that's the way I view it too. It'd leave them 1-5, and worse than that though, because there's 1-5 and there's 1-5 losing the way they've lost, and that's what's happening. I have a feeling. It couldn't be based on anything other than it being an opinion, Brownie, that they will come out hard, but whether it's going to be sustained for four quarters, whether it even means they win the game of footy, I how would you know? But I just have that feeling, Jim, that the adversity that they've copped after round 5 and the short break will actually, in a weird footy way, work for them.
How is that any different to the previous 5 weeks? How is it any different to round one when they got smashed when you expect them to win?
Yep.
We expect them to bounce back every time because we think they're a good side, but they don't bounce back.
No, no.
They look lifeless. They lack, I guess, leadership at the moment. Their forward line isn't functioning. Jordan Lewis had a poor game. I reckon Jordan Lewis should be able to
bounce back
because he's a very good footballer. But at the moment, I don't see anybody else jumping out of the ground to say we can beat the Tigers, because their last 2 weeks, the Tigers has been outstanding the way they've been able to galvanise that group with players out.
You'd have to, I would think, put Tom McDonald back, wouldn't you? Now that you've done it for 5 weeks and it hasn't worked at all, basically.
Him forward,
Put him back.
He's been forward for five weeks and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, I think you would have to do that.
If you do that, where do the goals come from?
You just conjure something with what you've got beyond that point. And maybe make Melksham the absolute focus. He's been slightly down on his normally good form as well.
Oscar McDonald didn't come in, which is interesting. They made five changes. And he didn't come in.
No, the big worry for me is if they enter forward 50, and it doesn't even matter if it's a deep entry, but often they're not. But if the ball goes inside forward 50, if the other team gain possession from there, 9 times out of 10, they get a shot on goal. If you enter that same part of the ground against Collingwood, you cannot move the ball from there.
Well, the same thing happened at Richmond last week when Sydney entered time and time again. They got ran down. Now, Melbourne have got Tom McDonald, who looks, for me, underdone from the preseason. He looks like he's running on tram tracks. He can't turn. He was like an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 player every time he played last week. Wiedemann had one good final last year. Wiedemann, and every time he doesn't get the footy, it goes out. So they've got some real issues down their forward end, but even that, their defensive end is shaky. The players down there drop easy marks. They can't use the footy. They're fumbly. And there's so many goals last week kicked against by St Kilda by players just wanting the footy more.
Brownie, your point before to negate my point about why would they show it tonight when they haven't showed it before, it's very valid. You go back to even round 3 and you talk about courses that clubs take even within a game. That was the night they played Essendon, both going into it at 0-2. Mm. You get to half time, they had on that surge of goals, and it looked, okay, they're back. 2 quarters later, Essendon's got its first win of the season, wins its next 2. Melbourne has looked as lethargic as they did in the games leading into that game, and they're going nowhere, and you've got Essendon tomorrow, who's obviously a live chance against Collingwood in the big game.
No, I agree. They've got a lot to prove to, I guess, themselves as much as anything else, because it's just been hard to watch. And don't get me wrong, everyone listening, so have North Melbourne, and we're going to get to them. So yep. I'm not cutting them any slack, but I'm just saying from a Melbourne point of view, when you watch that last 8 weeks of last season, Brownie, with the emphatic way they went about just dismantling good teams too, beat Hawthorn in a final, beat Geelong in a final, and had their way with them.
And did it easily too, just outran them. Yep. Where has that run gone? Where has that exuberance gone? Where's that freshness gone?
And energy.
You've got to look at their – energy is a great word, Bill. You've got to look at their preseason. What have they done? How have they managed their players? I know they've had a lot of off-season surgeries. But right now, every time you see them, they look flat. You'd think they'd come out 1 week and go, okay, we're back, we're fresh, we've done the work, now we've been through a heavy load phase, now we're a little bit fresher, but you're not seeing that freshness. What you are seeing from Richmond, though, is a club that knows we've got some stars out, we've got a lot of young players who are ravenous around the footy that want to play. Richmond looked gone 3 weeks ago with all the injuries. Now they're back and they're players, they want to play. They want to be part of something special because they'll get all their senior players back and it's going to be hard for spots.
That win last week was unbelievable. And that's what builds clubs.
It was 22 points in the end, but I was at the game live and it was more like a 9 or 10 goal victory. The scoreline really flattered Sydney.
Yep. Including Leon Baker, who reminds me of the great Jeff Raines. Have you watched this young man play live?
No, I've seen him.
Got half a little mullet and got a real happiness about what he brings visually to the table, which is the great Jeff Raines.
He's not quite as tall, though.
No, and he's probably not going to be as good a player either, because Rainesy was an absolute star. But Rainesy was very comfortable in front of the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get the feeling Liam is too.
Okay.
And I like it.
Well, he passed it down to his son too, Jeff Raines. Yeah, his son Andrew liked himself more than the old man did. But Baker, I agree, Jim, very good player, very smart when he gets the footy. And we talk about young Higgins and we joke about the theatrics he goes on with, but he's a very good footballer. Yeah. I think we see him as the class clown of that side, but he is a genuinely good footballer.
And Sydney Stack, he's Lambert. A good picker. Good picker.
Yeah. They look good. I love what they've done, no doubt about that. And we quickly move on to Anzac Day, which is set up beautifully for the first time in a while. You get both of these teams in great form.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I couldn't be more impressed with what Essendon's done in rounds 3, 4, and 5. They've just freed up the style, and it's coincided with Hooker coming back in at that point. And he's just so important to what they do on and off the field. They galvanise around him, particularly off the field. And he's just given Hurley another lease of life too, hasn't he? And they now stack up as a really good key defensive combo, Bill, which will stir them in good stead. Oh. You've got Danaher, who's yet to be confirmed as a starter. The teams are out pretty soon. You'd think he'd play.
He played.
I thought going into the Good Friday game, knowing that this game was only 5 days later, it might have been a debate to be had, but all the narrative out of the club is that he plays.
And the run off that half-back line.
Or what they've done so well, the Bombers, most clubs are going slow play around the edges. The Bombers are happy to take it on in the middle. Even from the first kick last week, I think it was Heppel on the half-back line, went straight through the middle, opened up the game. I think it was Fantasia who had a shot on the end of it, and it just set up the game. Can they do that against Collingwood? That's the biggest question right now.
Who had a shot on
Fantasia? His name is correct pronunciation. Bill,
Fantasia?
Fantasia, Fantasia.
Well, I think 99% go with Fantasia.
Well, the family go with Fantasia. So who
just because you
against?
Sat down with him and spoke about
that
yourself.
Was one of the great interviews. One of the great interviews, Bill.
Shield, Merritt, Heppel. They were and go up against the Collingwood midfield.
Can they do it against Collingwood?
Oh, that's right.
That's the big question. I think Collingwood are going to try and shut the Bombers down, and it's the Bombers taking their chances when they can, but it is going to be a cracking game. I worry, have the Bombers beaten anybody yet? It's going to be a great game, but I'm just going to steer towards Collingwood.
Jim, in round two, Collingwood tried to shut Richmond down when they went wide and kicked. Did the same again in round four against the Bulldogs. Do you reckon that's the style they'll play?
Well,
against Essendon?
You've got to be allowed to do that. I was staggered in that game. I think you were there too, Nath, the Richmond game, that they were allowed to do that pretty much unchecked for four quarters. Like, surely, and, you know, I think Damien Hardwick's great, but surely someone in the box at some stage says, we just got to get up on these blokes. Otherwise, this is just going to continue and we can't get hands on the footy. So I doubt very much that they'll be allowed to do that.
Not against Collingwood.
More than anything with Collingwood, I've seen him, I reckon, 4 of the 5 games this year. Their midfield is so deep. The amount of blokes they can roll through there who are all would-be A-graders on any other list is extraordinary. They've got the big three, obviously, that they they get through there. But then they can throw Phillips in there. They can throw Adams in there. They can throw Crisp in there.
Brody Grundy's basically an extra midfielder, the disposals he gets.
Yep, and they don't even worry with Steel Sidebottom anymore. He's just allowed to run down the side of the
ground. I don't think their rotating forward line has worked as well as what it has last year yet. I don't think Mason Cox has hit the form that he's hit last year. Oh, Jordan DeGoey's been okay in patches.
Stevenson was better, but he has
been harsh. That's harsh. DeGoey's flying.
DeGoey's outstanding.
He has been pretty good.
Fair to say. Take that back.
Hey?
Take that back.
I'm not taking it back. He's been okay.
Just okay.
Yeah. He's had two really good games, and he's had a little bit of a bit part in it.
You're harsh, Brownie.
He's in the team of the year so far.
Yes, he is, because he's kicked enough goals in those games where he's been very good.
That makes him been...
But their rotating forward line isn't working.
Are you saying Jamie Elliott's re-inclusion has just thrown it around adversely? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think they're missing Hoskin Elliott. Brody Majacek's last 2 weeks have been really good as well. So he started the year a little bit slowly, but they're slowly starting to get... I think the 6-6-6 rule hasn't helped Mason Cox. I think he's been pretty good, but he hasn't had the influence he had late last year.
We also need, as we go to the break, to acknowledge Darcy Moore, who has been outstanding.
Yeah. Unbelievably good.
He has got to be the All-Australian centre-half.
Without a doubt. He looks completely comfortable down there. What is great for him is seeing the game coming towards him. I think he reacts better seeing the ball coming and rather than trying to make the play.
Yeah. How good are his mitts?
Yeah. He closes well, doesn't he?
Bang. I love it.
Natural backman.
Right. What I see here is Nath Brown has requested his top eight crisis ladder.
I've come in negative today.
But no, Damo's
been rubbing off me.
You've got the Damo's iPad.
Are you doing a list?
Yeah, I'm doing a list.
This doesn't always work on a Friday, Jim.
Midweek Rub, and we got Nath in here, of course, as we have Damo, Bill and Radzi and myself. Now, Rocket Eid. We've all heard the audio. Now, Rocket's come out and said it's been doctored.
Well, it has. I think it has.
Well, Bill, how would you know if it was or not?
Yeah.
Because all it is just a continual line of beeps. You can't hear any
words. Leon Cameron's very good in it.
Well, we've got some Rebs ever listening on it.
Get around, Leo! Get off quick!
Rocket, we can't think.
Sorry, mate.
Come on.
Get him off!
Yeah,
Get Minson off!
He's coming. Get him back off! Get him off! Rocket, we can't hear.
Oh, Leon, good on you, Leon. Will.
It gets funnier each time, Jim.
Come on.
You'd hate to hear what does happen in coaches' box.
Of course.
It's all changed now, but back then with Malcolm
Blight.
I'm not sure
it has completely changed.
I think
there are some that still can get it.
Who goes off now, you reckon?
Oh, I think they were all boxes at some stage. Nah. Not that bad, but you'd still hear some stuff that would make your toes curl.
Clarko, would he?
Well, he's down on the bench. What about yourself? Have you copped... What's the best one you ever copped, Nath?
After I broke my leg, I did sit in the coach's box, so I know exactly how nasty it can get in there. And it's not just the senior coach. The assistant coaches have their cracks as well. But it was after a game against Hawthorne we played at the MCG. We got done by about 61 points. And I was in early stages trying to make maybe my third year. Yeah. And Plough was going through all the players, and he came to me, and he goes, "I don't know where your footy's heading." Back to... in Bendigo, and he goes, "Actually, I might take you to the bus station right now, buy your ticket, and you off." I got Murph sitting next to me, sort of trying not to giggle, tapping me under the table.
That's it.
You wouldn't have caught much under Blighty, Bill.
Oh, Bendigum. Oh, no, we've all know that one where he threw the VH, actually ejected it and threw it at me, trying to kill me with it.
You were watching a plane fly overhead during a game.
It was a practice game at Skinner Reserve.
It was a 737.
I don't see Winks going out and running at Gosford. I hated that. But he would, Austin McCrabb, "If I could get rid of you now, I would." Oh, mate, he feels bad, Marty.
Now, Nath, the top eight crisis ladder.
Yep.
Well, on the back of North Melbourne having crisis meetings, which they said weren't crisis meetings, but any time you're convening over Easter, I would have thought that you wouldn't have convened over Easter if you were the president, would you?
No. But I think it's good they did.
Well, you go to church.
Yeah. So before you do this list, Brian, you got to set it up for us. So well, how's it going to work?
This is shut up, Damien.
Is it 8-1 or 1-8?
Because you're worried, Damien.
I'm very worried. Bill, we do list on Friday night with Brownie,
and they
bat at 42%.
So this is the top. Shut up, Damien. This is the top eight.
The more nervous he gets, Jim, the more they
crisis ladder. So the crisis ladder, eighth being the eighth least crisis, and obviously one being the most club in crisis.
Right.
So the clubs around the eight are almost in the eight, so you can imagine. So 2 weeks ago, you would have thought Richmond and Essendon would both be in this crisis list, but they've won the last couple of weeks. So I've got in eighth spot the Dogs, their inability to kick goals, their 11... 9, 9, and 7. So I think they're only a couple of losses away. They started the year well. Number 7, Gold Coast. They had a bad loss last week. They've started the year well, but they're only one big loss away from everything crumbling away. They play Brisbane, then West Coast away. So their season, you know, it shapes up. I think Hawthorn at number 6 might surprise you.
But it does
The injuries have them in the top 8. They play Carlton this week, which is a danger game. Expecting to beat Carlton, but I think it's a danger game. At 5, we've got Carlton. Yes, they had one win, which relieves the pressure on Brendan Bolton, but the questions do remain, so they have to be up there. Number 4, so the top 4, Sydney. They're slow. They've got no youth coming through, and it's buddy or bust. I don't think Sydney can play finals this year. The youth they do have in their gym haven't been playing that well. Haywood's been in and out of the side. Mills is the shakiest I've ever seen him in the back end. Heaney's been their best. Number 3, after their crisis meeting, I've got North Melbourne. Three for North Melbourne. D-Day for Brad Scott in 2 weeks. They play Carlton. They probably need to win that game.
Jeez, who's 2?
4.
Adelaide. Where is their next generation of players coming from? They did win last week and they won well, so they should beat Gold Coast at home. But in 2014, they took Jake Lever, Harrison Wigg, Mitch McGovern, Harry Deer. None of those are on the list anymore. The next year, Miller and Duda, who are going okay. But Gallucci hasn't played much. Fogarty hasn't played much. Greenwood played his first game last year. So where is the youth? And they can't hide behind the fact that they had that terrible preseason draft last year. And I still think the number one under pressure they play tonight, that's Melbourne. They were premiership hope at the start of the year. They look flat. We've spoken about it. It's not how they lose. It's not why they lose. It's how they lose at the moment. And I think they play Richmond tonight. But what about the run after that? They play Hawthorn, GWS, West Coast away, and Collingwood. Foreseeable could be, I expect them to win one or two of those, but they could be 1-9 if they lose all those games for a side that we thought might win the premiership.
Well done.
Well, it was reported by Tom Morris Damo during the week that there's friction between Melbourne assistant Brendan McCartney and key players. Is there anything in that?
Look, I have heard the report. I don't have any awareness of it, Jim. Tom's a very good journalist, so I'm not doubting that at all. I just haven't heard it. They've obviously got problems that they need to sort out, as Brownie alluded to just a moment ago, and tonight is a good starting point for it. But there's clearly friction of sorts there. With
everything pops up when you're losing.
Yeah, of course. It gets heightened. Yeah. I'm going to go through some news stories with you, Damo, while we've got you. 20 grand, the right amount for Joe Danaher regarding Good Friday?
I would have made it a bit more. The standard's 10 grand, but the AFL has increased to 4, the amount of players you can have on the emergency list. They don't like you choosing outside of it. I think at one stage it was going to be more than that, but... yeah, no club will do that again. I wouldn't have thought you. It's a hefty fine to have one player play.
A fine good enough for Tom Hawkins on James Sicily off the ball?
I'd lean more toward a week. But, on what we've seen this year, a fine is in keeping with this year's messaging, which once again, Jim, I think is more of a slap on the wrist than a total eradication of the act.
No, and given the precedence of other incidents, you wouldn't have got a week. As I said to Bill yesterday, the AFL came out very strongly before the season, Nathan, and said, we're not going to tolerate players that don't expect contact and get it.
And then they instantly
tolerated it from round one.
Yep.
And the other issue that's clearly emerging, it even happened last night with Taylan Duman from GWS having his suspension from 2 weeks down to 1, that the tribunal itself is giving a different message to the match review office. It's a far more lenient one. We had Cox get off a MRO charge. We had Dustin Martin reduced from 2 to 1. We had Duman last night. We even had a situation prior to all that, Jim, in round one when Liam Jones took Jack Revolt off the ball, and to which you had an issue with at the time, and rightly so, and nothing at all.
All right. Did you hear about Damo and Hodgie Knife? Did you?
I thought the word knob was quite well used.
That didn't worry him.
No. Is there anyone in the AFL that, he is like shooting Bambi? There's nobody in the AFL that you possibly could have gone after that was any worse, could you?
He fired up, didn't he?
I think we're good. Lately, again. He has spoken?
We've conversed.
that would be spoken, I suppose.
On text. We missed each other's phone calls.
Righto.
I liked it, Nath. Mm. And what I liked most about it was not only the exchange between the two of them, but then there was about, I reckon, 30 or 40 pretty heavy-hitting figures among the playing group who said, perfect, Hodgie. That's what we want.
Great name for him.
I noticed a couple of your Herald Sun former colleagues piled in too.
Oh, did they? Yeah, that'd be right. I blocked all them, so I wouldn't know.
You would have got booed, especially when you went to Richmond for all that money. So the Doggies fans would have booed you.
Yes, they did, Bill.
Yeah.
How'd you go with that?
That was fine. It was fine. The first time I think we played the Dogs, I think we won and played okay. So the booing was good. I think some players, it fires up. I loved it.
Mm. See, Malcolm Blight said that he actually quit because of the booing on SEN this morning on Waitley.
Yeah, I heard that. It was fascinating from Blighty as always, and basically said even though you made the grand final that year, Bill, and won the game in question, which is despite being 26 points down at three-quarter time, he said he knew then that he wouldn't be there next year.
He said, I can honestly say that that night, he said he got booed at half-time, though.
Three-quarter time.
St Kilda. The Cats actually won that game, 26 points down. I kicked seven, so end up winning that game.
It's okay to boo at the footy though, Damo, isn't it?
I don't like it, but provided it's within the game reasons,
you pay your money. You should be able to go and boo whoever you want.
I'm worried about the Ablett one being similar to the Goods one. I really am. It drove Adam Goods out of the game, and I just hope it doesn't continue with Ablett, Bill, because I do believe it's my opinion on this that it was related to the social media liking. Now, whether it is or not, how would I know? But I feel it is, and I think the AFL feels it is as well. He's got a game on Sunday fortunately down at Geelong, so he won't be booed then. I just hope there's enough space between the Hawthorn game and the next game he plays away for it not to be an issue, but I am fearful.
I don't know why you do it, Nath. That's my only thing. What causes you to do it?
I don't go to the footy and watch as a supporter, so I've never really gone to boo, but I'd imagine players, there's certain supporters who don't like certain players, they don't like certain clubs.
Oh, they're so good.
That you can boo the umpire as well.
No, I don't like that either, Brownie, but we'll discuss that maybe on Friday. Jim, before we go.
Yes. Okay, don't
I? No, just Jim. No, we need to get to Jim. We need to get to Jim. Melbourne,
Jim is the host.
You made some strong comments on North the other day.
I like what has happened, by the way. I don't know the detail of it, but good clubs, Purple and Nath and Bill, good, strong footy clubs don't tolerate what happened on Good Friday. They just don't. Yep. So I loved hearing that Ben Buckley went, right, I'm not putting up with that. You blokes all get in a room, and I want to hear what you're planning to do about it. That, as a North man, and that's all I am, I have no involvement, as everyone knows. When I heard that that's what he did, I really liked it. Because from the boot starter upwards, you can't tolerate...
At least you're doing
that,
something.
Yeah, you can't tolerate that performance.
You'd have an awareness of what was said, so what can you share with your listeners
now? I actually don't. I don't know what was said. I just know the meeting happened, and as soon as I heard it did, I really liked it.
You said yourself on the Saturday rub, you would have done the same thing.
Yep. No doubt.
So what would you have said?
You can't serve that up. This is a marquee day that the club, since Bob Ansett in 1983, has fought to establish. You get 48,000 in the house.
Yep.
So it's all ready for you to strut your stuff. North Melbourne's, the whole shin bone and never beaten sort of dialogue is about, the fact that you leave everything out there. So to have that performance on that stage was just clearly not good enough. So I admire what Ben did, and I think that meeting would be a good thing.
So we look forward to a response this week.
I would hope. You'd hope, Bill.
Yeah, you would,
after
wouldn't
that.
You? You would.
You'd have to think that there'd be a response.
Still a rough, tough road trip to Port Adelaide.
No, it will be a hard game. No, but
I'm but not it's even, how they go about it.
Exactly, yeah, Nath. Exactly. I'm not talking win-loss. You just want to see, the desperation, the pressure acts, the stuff that North's always built their game on from the first minute, and then you see what happens from there. Well, I'm looking forward to tonight, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be a
cracker. Are you doing it, Nath?
I am going there tonight. Howie, BT, myself.
Nice.
And,
jeez, have a listen to that. Dale Thomas.
Oh, Daisy.
Daisy involved. JZ Clark. And there's Ash Chua. Oh, she's a big lineup tonight.
Good.
And you're doing the pre-match, Damon?
No, tomorrow I'll be doing the Anzac Day.
You're hosting.
Collingwood.
You're hosting, eh?
Nice.
No.
Self on there. Schwatter's doing that one. You're doing it, Fat.
Fat's doing it.
Chris Judd. Fat nearly passed away yesterday at the gym. So we're lucky to have him.
Hey, you are.
Good to see you, Nath. Good to see you, Purple. Can't wait for the next couple of days.